Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 69 of the Double Knit Podcast.
Woohoo! Yay. If my son was here, he would make an inappropriate joke.
Yeah, I thought about that when I looked that up. I was like, teehee.
Except he's at that age where it's like, I think he knows it's something dirty, but I don't think he knows what
it actually is. Yeah. So.
Still sort of cute.
But he'll learn that in high school.
Yeah.
he'll learn what that is.
All right. Okay. So we got tons of stuff to talk about because we're doing single skein September. Should we just jump right into that because we've got a million things to, that we've done?
Yeah, I just wanted to rehash the prizes for this for Finish Frog and Slug. You are donating, or you're giving away Destiny Circular Needles. Did you see what size those were?
I believe they're nines.
Size nines. A shawl pin from Lantern Moon. Mm-hmm. And I bought one of the small yarn pop project bags.
Oh, cool.
And so you can stick that stuff in there and send it off.
Alrighty.
I love the bags. Because I bought that one to give away, and I bought another one for myself, so now I have two. And
I bought one for myself, too.
Yeah, I was looking at the big totes, and I was like,
So Yarn Pop's a company that does bags that have grommet holes so that you can put your yarn inside the bag and then feed it through the hole and have your knitting. Yeah,
and then when it's got a nice big zipper, mm-hmm. like one of those sport wear kind of zippers that are plastic and they're different colored. And then there's a little gap
right.
so that you can put your project back in the bag.
Right. So it doesn't get caught in the zipper, which is really nice.
So I have the I forgot what one it is, but it's like a medium size. It has two grommets,
mm-hmm.
so you can do color work with that.
Yep,
and feed one color through each. And I also got the gadgety one.
Oh,
the other
cool.
one I have. It has a pocket on the inside and one grommet on either side, which you could also use that for color work if you wanted to have separate pockets. Or you could put your iPod or iPhone or whatever in one in the zippered side and have your earbuds, your headphones feed through the grommet, and then you're knitting on the other side. So,
because I don't know about you folks, but if I put headphones anywhere near my knitting, it all turns into a tangle of yarn and headphones.
It's a 69 of.
You were just yarn like waiting for your opening. Where am I going to get to throw that in?
What's going
to
happen? I'm super tired.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
They're great bags.
Yes.
And I love mine. And I think the print I got is the dandelion print.
Mm-hmm.
The white with the black.
The white and black, yeah.
Yeah. So it's really, really cute.
Yes.
And we're both doing single skein September. So maybe we'll alternate what we're working on with our FOs because we both have a ton of FOs.
Yes.
So do you want to start?
Sure. So I think the last time we talked, I had done like a bunch of plain hats. I just pulled out some lambspread worsted.
I'm gonna go grab myself a cider. I'll be
okay.
right back.
I pulled out some lambspread worsted and I knit a hat and then I knit another hat and then yeah, and then I knit another hat using the leftovers from those two hats. I knit myself a Vancouver Fog, or not myself, I'll probably donate most of this stuff, but I knit the Vancouver Fog mitts, and I cannot remember the designer's, I don't have the designer's name, and my phone is being super slow, but I'll link it on the show notes. And I knit that in some leftover Columbia 2-ply from a sweater. Oh, that's okay. And then, should I just keep running through? Because then I have some Rambouillet yarn that I got from Judith McKenzie in 2007 that I dyed in a class at Madrona. That is Deep Stash. And so I knit a free pattern from Classic Elite called the Kumara Diamond Cap. And then I found a pattern called Carrie, which is for some twisted stitch wristers that were meant to be knit in, I think, one of the Quince Company yarns, I think, like Chickadee.
Mm-hmm.
And I knit it in a completely different yarn. I knit it in hand-spun Angora that I spun several years ago and had knit a cowl in and had leftovers.
Totally different stitch definition there.
Yeah, but they're really, really warm and fluffy, so it's still a really nice yarn for wristers, even though it doesn't show the pattern perfectly. But
I kind of like the hazy cable
thing. It's, they're really cute. I mean, they'll be really warm. And then I have other Rambouillet from the same class from 2007, and I knit Amstel, which is it's either by Kate or Courtney from Fiber Company. I can't remember who did it. And it is in the current Interweave Knits, which I know. I don't think I've ever knit something from a current issue of Interweave Knits.
Wow, way to be on top of things.
I was impressed. So then I still had leftovers from the Kumara hat and the Amstel hat. So I put them together, and I knit Ocean Breezes, which is a Lee Meredith pattern. So it's, so I'm sorry, I haven't been describing this. So the Kumara Diamond Cap is really pretty plain cap. It's just got a pearl diamond pattern on it. And then Amstel's got like a chevron pattern in textured stitches on it. And it's kind of a fun knit because it's knit from the top down. Mm-hmm. So you kind of do this counterpane thing on the top then go down. And then Ocean Breezes is Lee Meredith. So it's, of course, knit in some kind of completely wacky, unexpected way. And there's all sorts of... she uses sort of these drop stitches to create these wave patterns. And then there's eyelet rows in a contrast color and buttons and straps and all sorts of fun stuff. And then I still had Rambouillet left over, and I still had the Columbia leftover from the Vancouver mitts, which are cabled mitts. So I knit Vortex, which is another Lee Meredith pattern, and that was from Nitty. And that has, like, it's done in short row wedges, so it's got kind of a waving... It's done in two row stripes with garter edging, but it's got a lot of internal shaping to... And it kind of... Well, it... like kind of whirls around like a vortex. And then I did the Nalu mitts, which are more twisted stitches done in more hand spun yarn. This was Shetland from a sweater I did a couple years ago. Again, like, not ideal yarn for the pattern because it's not a super smooth yarn. It doesn't show off the twisted stitches that well, but still fun. And then I had Palabrigo left over from my swirl sweater from a couple years ago, and I knit a free pattern called Gansey Booties, but I was out to dinner and I wasn't paying attention, and I forgot to actually... There's supposed to be like a little pearl bit on the top of the booties that I completely forgot to do, but they're still really cute little booties. And then I had little bitty sample skeins from a natural dyeing class that the shop did with Earth Hues Dye Studio. And I think it was ecological wool, so I just put those all together and did a striped hat. Kind of looks like candy corn. Doesn't look purple on the bottom, but then candy corn. And then I knit a drops pattern, which has the very evocative name 86-10.
Mm-hmm. As they all do.
Yes, drops it's a headband. Like a kind of wide shaped ribbed headband. And I did that in some hand spun yarn from a workshop from a couple of years ago. And what else? There's more. I did the lettuce.
Wait, there's more.
I know. I did the Tiffany neck warmer in some leftover Malabrigo twist. And it's just like you basically just knit this little trapezoid and then tie off the or gather up the ends, and then you're supposed to put a snap on it so it makes like a little ascot. Right.
But you hadn't sewn the snap on it.
Still don't have a snap, so I got to get a snap for that. And then I'm knitting another hat out of natural dye samples. This time it's in pure alpaca, so I'm doing it in a 2x2 rib just to give it a little structure. Otherwise, it would be a little too floppy. And at knitting on Monday night, Jean came, and one of her finished object to show off was a baby sweater from an older issue of Petite Pearls called Cascade, which is a really simple top-down raglan that has a leaf pattern on the button band. And I went home and I'm like, oh, that's cute. And then I saw that the smallest size only takes 200 yards, or the two smallest sizes, I think, take less than 200 yards of worsted weight. And I had a single skein of pink cottonies from who knows when. I mean, it's got to be like ancient, because I knit Sitcom Chic in it a billion years ago. Right. Like, I bought it online from Joann's like a million years ago. And it's the old cottonies. It's like before they reintroduced cotton. Mm-hmm. So this is old. And I have just one skein, and hopefully, and you know, if it's not enough to do the sweater as written, I'll just do little sleeves on, you know, short sleeves. But I just started that last night, so I'm just separating the sleeves from the body now.
I love baby sweaters.
Yeah, but so I was homesick all last week, so I took vacation time the first week of September, so I've basically been sitting in front of my computer watching TV and knitting the entire months of September.
Yeah, but you've finished a lot of stuff.
A lot done.
But way to rock single skein September.
Thank you.
Diggity.
I'm really tired. That's me. You got a good list, though.
Yeah, I do. I start school on Monday, so this is doing my last push. Although, I only have 2 classes instead of 3 like I did last quarter, so it should be okay. So I finished The Signs of Spring Cowl last night, which is that thing I've been carrying around
for a working long time.
On. I started it in June.
Yeah.
Which is a long time, super long time for me.
For you, yeah.
And I had just the tiniest bit of yarn. I'm holding like a penny size, maybe. I think, yeah. So it's done. I just have to block it.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be for my mom for Christmas.
All right.
And I knit the fishtail wrist warmers, which are a little fingerless mitts pattern. They're for my eldest niece for Christmas. And I used my leftover Tosh Merino Light and Steam Age for those. And they have a little like fishtail lace pattern on the back. And then they have a twisted stitch broken rib on the palm, which I think will work really well for the Tosh Merino Light because it's not going to fuzz as much because it's tighter, even though it's now on size 2s. And I think the pattern calls for 7 repeats, so they're fairly long. But I just did 3 repeats for the wrist before I started the hands. And they're sized small, so... And she's, like, 12 now, so they should fit her fine. They're a little bit snug on me. They're super pretty. They're that silvery gray color with the little blue and purple. And I was, like, kind of sad to be giving these away. But... and that took the rest of that yarn. Yay. I used all of it, so completely gone. And I knit the Matini Mitts, which is a blue sky alpaca pattern. It's in the Royal Blue.
It's part Royal of their Petites. Royal Petites pattern selection, which if you haven't seen, you should go to
super cute.
A yarn shop that carries it because they did these little, they're like little retro-inspired patterns to They have, like, the retro illustrations on the front of the patterns, and then, like, a little photograph. Right, oh, yeah, inside there's, like, a picture of an alpaca. It's, like, alpaca trading cards, Kathy calls them at the shop. And then the patterns are on, like, a big sheet of paper, like a sewing pattern.
Yeah.
With a big color photo. And
which makes them really nice to carry around when I was working on it, because the ball of yarn, and the Matini mitts take 1 ball of yarn. Although I ran out on the ribbing for the thumbs, but I had... I knit it in the gray of the Royal Petite Blue Sky, Royal Petite. And I didn't want to do the thumb as long as I had it. So I just had to knit 2 rows and had to do the ribbing. And instead of buying another ball, I just pulled out some Road to China Light that I had in the silvery gray color. Because it's a similar blend and similar color. And just finished them off, and you can't even tell because it's just like rubbing around the thumb. So, but I made them a tiny bit longer, I think, than they were supposed to be, which is probably why I ran out of yarn.
Yeah.
But those are for my younger sister, who's a senior in high school, so I think she'll like those. Mm-hmm. She lives in California. I mean, they really are mitts. They hardly have any wrist on them.
Right.
So I think they'll be perfect for winter where she lives, so... And I finished my Rockefeller.
Yay!
I wound that yarn that Brooke sent me that I was talking about last time and knocked that out in one evening. And then it took me a few more days. I blocked it over the weekend, but it's really pretty. You can tell that the grays are slightly different, but I kind of like how it looks. So,
yeah.
And everyone's like, show us. I took it to knitting. I think that was when you were sick. I'll show it to you, though. It's in my cabinet. And they were like, show us how you would wear that. And they're like, oh, we like it. We like it with the different colors. And I was like, okay, whatever. I'm gonna wear it anyway. I don't really care. But it turned out really well. But I still have to post pictures on Ravelry yet. I've just been really bad about updating my project pages. So, and then for my youngest niece, I knit the braided cable mitts, which is sized for like... I think she said it was like an 8 to 10 year old, which is how old my niece is, or she's about to be 8. And I knit those in leftover yarn. They're those pink ones right there out of Spud and Chloe Fine that I used to knit Amanda's Pearl B mitts.
Oh yeah.
So and I still have yarn left,
Wow.
So, cool. Yeah. They're just, like, a little fingerless mitt that are sized for, like, elementary-age kids.
Where did that pattern come from?
It's a free pattern on Ravelry.
Okay.
And they just have cables and some seed stitch. They're really easy. I knocked them out in, like, a couple evenings of knitting. And I knit a Windschief hat, or Windschief. I like Windschief because it sounds like mischief. By Stephen West. And it's sitting right there, too. Yeah. It's for my soon-to-be brother-in-law. My sister-in-law is getting married next year. So I decided that I would actually knit him something this year. And I knit that in Tosh Vintage and Terra Verte, which is, like, the hardest color to photograph well. Because it's, like, black
but
with kind of with navy
a green and
green undertone. Yeah. So it's ridiculously hard. Dark. But I love the color.
Yeah.
And it turned out really well. And I was like, hot damn, my stitches are so even. Like, after I blocked it, I'm like, no, look at how good a knitter I am. He's like, God, toot your own horn. I was like, toot, toot. So I finished that. And I really like knitting that pattern. It's, like, so easy. I knit that in, like, one night. I think I did almost all of it except for just the crown.
It's just got, like, a little swirl of twisted stitches that run and, on one section.
Yeah, and the brim is in twisted rib, so. Mm-hmm. And I finished the Gramps cardigan, but I gave it away before I took a picture. So, and it turned out so damn cute, and it was, like, the winner of the baby shower.
Maybe they'll send you a picture of
it. That would be awesome. It turned out so cute. Everyone was like, which is what I was going for. And I didn't realize that the woman who it was for just learned to knit. And so she was super impressed. Oh. And she was like, oh, my God, these are cables, right? Oh, I want to learn how to do these. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's no big deal.
This whole thing.
I know. Seriously. And I have little cute little puppy dog buttons on that I got at the shop. Yeah. So. And then I knit the Cupido cowl, which is a free cowl pattern. It's like a slip stitch garter thing. It comes in two.
In the original, it's like done in something really fuzzy, isn't it?
It is really fuzzy. Where is
it? Or is yours really fuzzy?
Yeah, it is. It's in Rowan Kid Classic.
Oh, right, right.
Okay. That I got from that awesome yarn garage sale that I went to, where I ran into Kara. So I got that like last month and it's already gone. It was a skein and a half and I just kept going until I ran out, so. It's completely gone.
Awesome.
And I'm going to do another one because I have a skein of pink and a skein of white. And I think I'm going to try striping it because that'll be cute.
Cool.
That might be for a gift. I don't know. But candy I like it.
Canes.
Yeah.
And you got stuff you're still working
on? Two things. Well, I have the squirrel mittens, but I haven't started the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on a pair of Nucks for my brother for Christmas. And I have one done.
And
I finished it on Monday.
Little fingerless mitts.
Yeah, but they have the fingers.
They have the half fingers.
They have the half fingers. So you start by knitting all the fingers separately.
Oh, right.
And then you join the four and then knit down and then join the thumb.
Is this a nitty pattern?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a nitty pattern.
Have you knit those before?
No, my sister has knit a bajillion pair. She has she has the pattern memorized because she's insane like that. I did it all in Magic Loop, which made it really easy, but in the pattern, it's written for DPNs, so it's like, first do this, then do this, and slide it back onto straight needles, and I was like, F that S. And then I just figured out, I just knit each one separately, put it on waste yarn until the last one, and then
got them all on.
Easy. Easy, easy, and I think I did Jenny's surprisingly stretchy bind-off for the cuff. I just did a one-by-one rib for the cuff. Because they have two, you could do a textured thing, stitch, whatever.
Are you going to do little messages on the fingers?
No, I don't think he would really get that.
Like, not a little Radio Raheem love and hate.
Bug life, maybe. No, I'm not going to do that. He probably wouldn't wear them if they had stuff. And I'm just knitting those out of Cascade 220 Sport. I'm going to see if I can get it. I bought two skeins, but I'm going to see if I can get it out of one. I haven't weighed them yet to see where it is. Because I'm planning on knitting three pair of those. One for each of my brothers, and then one for my mom's boyfriend. Because he walks around his property and stuff during the winter and fall doing stuff. So he, like, has a tractor. You know, farming crap. He does farming crap. Where it'd probably be nice to have, like, his hands warm but not fully covered so he could do stuff. So
still has and that dexterity.
He really appreciates Hannah gifts and always asks me about them. So he deserves it. And then last night I cast on for Snug, which is a free pattern on Ravelry. And it's just a little baby garter stitch hoodie thing. Knit in Cascade Ecological Wool. And I have a skein. Oh, it's that blue thing right there.
Oh.
I knit that duck soup jacket thing.
Right.
And that's the rest of the yarn for that. Oh, okay. So, but I'm not knitting it on 10s. I think it calls for 10s or 10 and a half. And I don't like eco wool knit at that gauge.
Too floppy.
I'm using 9s. Yeah. So, and it's garter, so it's stretchy. And that's probably for charity.
Cool. So, yeah, most of the stuff I'm knitting, I'm probably just going to donate.
Yeah. I'm trying to get my holiday gifts out of the way before. Because I have school, and then Audrey's birthday and stuff. So December is always super hectic. I mean, it is for everybody, but extra hectic because I'm wrapping up school. I'll be, like, wrapping up school for good, hopefully.
Yay!
We'll find out Tuesday when I have my graduation meetings with my advisors. And, yeah. So I feel good about this month.
Good.
I feel productive. Do you feel productive?
Well, I definitely feel productive on the knitting front, but I feel utterly unproductive in every other facet because I got really sick, like, just at the end of the first week of the month, and I literally spent an entire week just, like, staring at my computer.
Dying.
Kind of in a daze, like, I was sick, but I was in that, like, cold medicine haze of just, horrible. Like... And, you know, when you're really sinusy, you just have that cotton-headed feeling anyway. So I really just, I kept saying, like, I felt like I spent the whole week just, like, swimming through pudding. Like, I was just like, everything was just too hard. And so I definitely got a lot of knitting done, but I got nothing else done. Like,
I cleaned my oven last weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
It was horrific.
You're a better woman than
horrible,
I am.
I
did nothing.
But it's awesome now.
I'm actually reading a book.
I know.
What? And when I say actually reading it, I mean, like, I think I will actually finish it. Not that I just borrowed it from the library, read the first chapter, and set it aside until I have to return it. It helps that it's a really, really short book. It is called Wrong About Japan, and it is by Peter Carey, who's one of my favorite authors. He wrote Oscar and Lucinda. And he wrote The True History of the Kelly Gang. And it is a memoir of a trip that he took to Japan with his 12-year-old son.
Right.
And I don't know how much of interest it would be for other people because, like, I'm so hooked into it. Like, one, I just love Peter Carey. But I went on a trip to Japan when my son was 11, and my husband went on a trip with our other son this summer as a 12-year-old. And so it's so, like, and he's talking about places that we visited. And although they had a very, I mean, the whole focus of their trip is, like, he got his son interested in going because his son really loves manga and anime.
Right.
So they went to kind of explore that, and he promised his son that he wouldn't make him go to museums or do any of this other stuff. And so it's kind of, it's interesting. It's a little disjointed, and it also, I can't tell. It seems to me like it sort of assumes some working knowledge of Japan. Like, if you knew nothing at all about Japan and
start.
Anime and things like that, it might be, it feels a little disjointed to me, but I also know, like, I'm mentally filling in a lot of spaces, so I can't really tell what it would be like for someone if you weren't familiar. I think if you weren't familiar with the material, it might not really be that interesting anyway, but it just so dovetailed with, like, my whole life, you know, that it really, like, I was very excited about it, and I just really wanted to read it. So I'm about halfway through it, which, you know, for me is, like,
way to go,
major accomplishment, and hopefully I won't have to return to the library before I finish it. So
I'm still working on the second book in the Newsflesh trilogy, which is Deadline by Mira Grant. That is it. No goes to bed really early, and usually I get in bed and read for a while, so if he goes to bed early, I just end up watching TV or movies or whatever until I'm ready to go to bed, instead of going to get my book and reading on the sofa. I think I have one more renew available for that. I better. Or else I'm just going to have lots of late fees. But I'm, like, halfway through. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. That's it.
And movies.
Well, last time I talked about going to see Snow White and Huntsman, and I went.
Yes.
Yeah, it was good. Charlize Theron was really, really good, and the graphics were really cool. And the storyline was the same Snow White story, but, you know, a little bit of a twist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Cool.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I paid $3, so I'm happy with that decision to wait till I went to the $3 theater. Yeah. I feel that way about a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy I waited till that came out on DVD, or I'm happy I paid $3 to see that, so.
Yeah.
I watched J. Edgar, which I did not like.
No.
No.
I did not kind of good things about it.
Yeah, well, I was interested in watching it when I was taking my Black Internationalism and Modernism class, because J. Edgar spied on...
Everyone.
No, the guy. I already forgot his name. I wasn't even a year ago.
Oh.
It's not Du Bois. Whatever. Sorry. The guy who got shot. Died friendless, I believe. He got shot, and then he got kicked out of the United States. He took a bunch of money from people. Anyway,
totally, yeah.
I was interested in it because of that, but it didn't have any of that storyline in it. It was just him being a complete jerk all the time
and slightly crazy
and repressed homosexual. And, like, I was waiting for some kind of pivotal point in the movie, but there's not one. It's just, like, him being a dick. So, whatever. Don't recommend it.
No.
But, was it Sunday night? No, and I watched Dark Star, which it is a sci-fi movie. It was my downstairs neighbors. Oh. They like to slam their doors and yell at each other.
Yay.
It's a mom and her two teenage daughters. Yeah.
I enjoy yelling at teenagers, too.
Like, all the time I hear the mom being like, Andrea! Like, screaming at the door. And the daughter's always like, what? In a super exasperated teenage way. I'm like, wow. That's something else.
It'll be, soon it'll just be, Audrey!
I know. So I watched Dark Star, which is John Carpenter. It was his first movie, and he wrote it. It started as a student film project in college, and it was filmed over some incredibly long amount of time.
Huh.
And one of the characters is played by three different actors over the course of the movie. And it's supposed to be, like, really funny. I didn't find it all that funny. Parts of it I found funny, which were the slapstick parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the band Pinback is named after one of the main characters' names, who is Pinback. And he was, like, the funniest character in it.
I don't think I've ever heard of this. So it's
it's from the late 70s.
So it's sci-fi?
It's sci-fi.
What's the story about?
They're in space. they're in
the
space.
End.
They bomb other planets.
And there's a star, and it's dark.
No, the name of the ship is Dark Star.
Oh, okay.
There's some like weird, crazy existential talk in it, and slapstick with an alien that they have on board. And
oh,
stuff
is this
like
the
that,
one in the far reaches of space? A small crew, 20 years into their solitary mission, find things beginning to go hilariously wrong.
Yep. I didn't find it that hilarious, but I thought it was interesting.
That is interesting.
Hmm. And in the beginning, there's this long, you know, how Star Wars starts with, like, the...
The scroll.
There's a long scroll telling the story of the film. Like, this started as a student film project and took this many years. And the trivia thing was, like, they had a trivia question in the beginning. Can you guess which character is played by three different actors? Also, who is on LSD in what scene? So, I was just like, this is all kind of strange. I can't really tell.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yeah, and it's like just over an hour long. Yeah. It's an hour and 10 minutes or something. So, I don't know.
Fun.
And then I watched God Bless America, which is written by Bobcat Goldthwait. Do you know this?
No.
It has Joel Murray from Mad Men in it. It's on Watch Instantly. So, it's...
You are finding all sorts of little treasures.
Yeah. This was really, really good. And,
really?
Written
by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah.
And good, huh?
So, it's very ranty. although I really enjoyed the rant. So the premise is, so Joel Murray plays the main guy, and he's divorced. He lives by himself. He's divorced, and his wife has remarried this cop, and they're going to have a baby, and his daughter lives, the daughter lives with the mom and the stepdad or whatever, and she's kind of horrible. She's mm-hmm. like, I don't know, 10 or something, but she's just like, I don't want to go to visit dad. I just want to play my video games. And, like, the mom just always caves into whatever she wants. And his neighbors are jerks and are always listening to their TV super loud. And the guy's always, like, blocking in Joel Murray's car. So he gets fired from his job for supposedly sexual harassment, but he thought he was just being friendly, and the woman, because he lent this woman a book, and he thought he was kind of flirting with her, and she was just nice to him, but then went and said that he was harassing her. And so he gets fired from his job. He gets diagnosed with a brain tumor, and then he's at home, like, crying and watching reality TV, and it's like an American Idol type thing, and there's this guy who has a handicap on there singing. He comes this overnight YouTube sensation thing, and he just decides that he's gonna, and there's other reality TV he's watching, and people are just being horrible, mm-hmm. you know, as reality
as
TV
they
people
are. Yes.
So he's like, he decides he's just going to go on this killing spree, and he starts hunting down all these reality TV stars and shooting them.
My goodness.
So it's very violent.
Wow.
It's very violent, and he intelligently rants about how television, reality TV in particular, is ruining America. And then he also goes after, he meets up with like a 14 or 15 year old girl, and she kind of rides along with him.
Becomes a sidekick.
Yeah. And there's no, like, weird sexual thing going yeah. on. It's just, like, they hit it off, and she tracks him down after he kills the first person, and, says she's gonna go with them, or she's gonna go tell the cops, so she goes with them. But they go thrifting, and so they have all these awesome outfits throughout the whole thing, and, like, it's a really intelligent movie. It's violent. It's also on Watch Instantly, so you can watch it if you so choose. I liked it a lot. I was like, yes, Mr. Joel Murray, I like what you're saying about reality TV. Yeah. I'm guilty of watching it, but I think, you know, this whole 15 minutes of fame thing has gone way crazy. You know?
Yeah,
I think half the people who are famous for that crap, or all the people who are famous for it, should be. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I hate American Idol. Hate it.
Well, I've never seen it, so, but
I've seen one episode, sure, and that was pretty much enough. So, bleh. All right. But it's a very good movie, and it's well done. And then I found out it was written by Bobcat Goldthwait.
And directed
by him. And I love him, because he's all, I don't think he talks like that in real life, but
no, I don't think so.
That's how he talks in my head all the time.
Well, after our last podcast, I went and checked out Red Riding.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit on
my finished watching it, too.
So, I think
I edited out of the last one because it was so long.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so basically, it's this trilogy. It's not Red Riding Hood. It's called
Red Riding Trilogy.
It's a sort of a play on the fact that the story takes place in West Riding, Yorkshire. And the action begins in 1974. There's three parts, 1974, 1980, 1983, I think. Mm-hmm. And 1974 begins with the investigation into a child's murder. And you start following this investigative journalist who's played by Andrew Garfield, also known as the new Spider-Man.
which I didn't
know. And what I love about it, though, is that it's not a murder mystery. It's not, I mean,
no.
There is this interest in finding out, obviously, there's interest in finding out who killed this little girl, but the story just goes in a completely different direction. It's very dark, it's very creepy, but not in the ways you think it will be. And that's, I love.
It's pretty violent.
It is, yeah. in kind of shocking.
And it's pretty...
Like, not how you expect it to be, though.
Yeah, and totally, that first one is really emotionally intense, yes, too.
It really veers off in different directions, and I love a movie that just takes you someplace completely unexpected.
Yeah, I had no idea, watching all three of them, what was going to happen, and I really like that.
They start to interweave, so the second one is you're following the police investigation into the Yorkshire Ripper, and then the third one is a child abduction case, which then links back to the other, you know, they all interweave in different ways.
And they all have some of the same characters. Yeah. So there's a lot of character development. Like, I mean, even if you just watch the first one, because I watched the first one, I was like, wow, that was intense. I need to take a break before I watch the other two.
Yeah.
Like, those characters come back and they change.
Yeah, and you keep learning more about them, and you keep going, like, back and seeing more about them, and it's really interesting. The guy who plays Carson in Downton Abbey is like a police chief.
He's a bad guy.
And he's got really foul mouth, and it's like, oh, Carson! And Lady Mary's in it.
Lady Mary's in it.
Kind of slutty reporter.
Yeah.
A lot of familiar faces. Paddy Considine's the main character in the second film, and I really like him, and... it's just really interesting. I liked it so much, and what I love about it is that, you know, the whodunit is not the point. It's not the story.
And some of it was really beautifully filmed too.
Yeah, and then that was something Wes found out. So Wes was kind of half watching it over my shoulder, and so he looked it up.
The whole thing.
I bombed through the whole thing, but that they filmed each of the three films in a different film format. So I believe the first one was shot 35mm. I can't remember what format they used for the second one. The third one was shot digitally. And so they all have a slightly different look to them. But they're very stylishly shot. There's very... they're really evocative in terms of, like, the imagery. And it's really, really well done. If you don't like stories about serial killers or things where bad things happen to children, definitely not for you.
Yeah, although I didn't feel like that was what was really
they didn't dwelt on that. Yeah.
And it was more police brutality.
Yeah.
That was like, oh my, that's where I was just like, oh, I can't watch this, but I have to.
It was interesting too, because it just reminded me of other things I'd watched, like the original series of Life on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of revels in this whole atmosphere of the way cops operated in the 70s in England, where they just, you know, I mean, first, you know, they can grab you and lock you up. They don't have to charge you with anything. They don't have to tell you why. A lot of brutality, a lot of coercion, a lot of really, like...
dirty dealings.
Yeah, no interest in actually, like... solving crimes, just interest in, like, ticking a box and putting someone behind bars, regardless of whether they had anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And so that was... And it was interesting. Like, it reminded me of a lot of other things that I'd seen. And then I suddenly remembered that I had never finished watching the series Wire in the Blood. So I've been going back and watching that again, which now that I've watched Red Riding, Wire in the Blood is so childishly, like, boring and silly and crazy serial killers, and it's very much a procedural, and there's a real, like, predictable arc to every episode.
Right.
And that was what was so thrilling about Red Riding, though. Like, there was no predictability. You had no idea where each episode was taking you.
Right.
And they all went in very different directions. But all really interesting. I'm just very, very well done. I was very surprised by it.
Yeah, it's produced by the Independent Film Channel. So I think that had something to do with the quality. Because I find their stuff, their films that they do are higher quality than some of the other, like, TV channel
shows. Or definitely less conventional.
Yeah.
Which I always, like, very appreciate. Interesting. Yeah.
And so I highly recommend that. And all three episodes are on watch instantly.
Yeah. And then speaking of conventional, so then I watched all of season 8 of Grey's Anatomy, which is on Watch Instant. It's like 23 episodes, and I just watched that's what I did all last week while I was homesick. And the whole time remembering, this is why I stopped watching Grey's Anatomy. Really stupid, but decent background, you know.
I watched season 1 and 2, and I was like, yep, that's it.
I liked the show when it first came on, but it ran out of steam a long time ago, and it's just, and so they have to keep putting in like a big crazy catastrophe every mm-hmm. 5 episodes to the point where it's ridiculous. Like every single person on that show has like been in a car crash, been in a helicopter crash, been attacked, been shot, saved someone who was shot. I mean, it's just crazy, crazy, crazy. So silly. But anyway, but it was good for, you know, being all fuzzy headed and like, ugh, I don't feel good. That's
something you have to really pay that much attention to. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that's everything I've been doing.
Yep.
Oh, wait, one more thing. Sorry. But before I got all sick, we went to the movies, all four of us, and saw Paranorman, which is by the same creative team that made Coraline. And it's like stop motion and CG assisted stop motion. And it's a very cute story. It's like a little boy, Norman, who... he sees dead people, if that sounds familiar at all. It's very cute, sort of a story about how, you know, he has to save the town from a zombie invasion.
Yay!
But it's kind of interesting because it's like a zombie movie, but for children. But it wouldn't take little kids to see it, because even though nothing bad happens, there's some intense stuff. And the backstory they give for a lot of stuff is pretty intense for little kids, I think. I was surprised to walk into the theater and see so many really little children
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I think people think that just because it's a cartoon means it's okay for...
Yeah, and it's PG.
I don't think that's the case anymore.
But it was really cute, actually. We all really liked it. It was... It was really funny and... And it had actually some interesting themes about it. Like the way Norman's parents talk about him how he's different from the other kids and the ways they wish he would just be like the other kids. It felt like they were really borrowing a lot of the language that you might hear a conversation about parents who have a child who is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very interesting how they... dealt with that, and I felt like it was an intentional theme to the film.
Mm-hmm.
And so it had some really cute business in it and a good voice cast and kind of a quirky animation style, so we all really liked it, actually.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Audrey to see Finding Nemo in 3D.
Yay!
So that's coming out, I think, this weekend before I go back to school. That'll be your
great movie.
Yeah, she likes it. They're fish.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to Disney Animation, not Pixar, but Disney Animation's coming out with a new film called Wreck-It Ralph in a couple weeks that a friend of ours is an animator for Disney, and so he's been working on. And it's John C. Reilly as the main character.
Love John C. Reilly.
And he's like the bad guy in kind of a Donkey Kong style video game,
mm-hmm.
where like he's wrecking the building, and mm-hmm. then there's like a little kind of plumber character who comes to fix things, or he's not like a plumber, I guess he's like a handyman or something. And so he decides to abandon his game and like kind of goes off on a little journey through other games.
Oh, cool.
So it's got a lot of like old school video game and new fangled video game reference points, and cool. It looks very cute. Good voice cast on that one too. It's the guy who plays Kevin on Kenneth, I mean, on
30 Rock.
Jack, what's his name? Jack McBrayer? Yeah.
I don't know.
And then John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman and Jane Lynch. So a really fun voice cast, but it looks really cute, so we're looking forward to it.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Okay. And just to mention it, we didn't get to it, but the Nitty Deep Ball came out and Petite Pearls issue 13, which is the part sewing issue. So if you're multi-craftual and you sew and knit or crochet.
And crochet, yeah.
Yeah.
Petite Pearls. And then the Nitty is their 10th anniversary issue, so they've got like a lot of returning designers like Isolde Teague and Rosemary Hill and Stephanie Jappel. And Ann Weaver and Mercedes Trasevich Clark and just a lot of familiar designers, but some really nice designs, so definitely worth checking out.
Hey, look, paranormal socks.
Oh, yeah.
Your little skulls.
Skull mosaic stitch ones. Yeah, there's some really nice stuff in there. I love, there's a sweater in there that's like perfect for stash busting because it's Party Mix one. It's like
it's a knitting.
It's a raglan that's done in panels so that you can use small bits of hand spun or stash. And then there's one that's where they combine a commercial yarn with hand spun.
Right.
And it just looks like a really fun project for using up odds and ends.
Yeah. And so you can see that on knitty.com.
Yes.
There's some good stuff in there.
Yeah.
And cute stuff in Petite Pearls.
Always cute stuff in Petite Pearls. Love that.
Yeah. So I think that's it. We'll see how recording fits into my new school schedule when I'll be on campus 4 nights a week. We'll figure it out. It sucks.
Yeah.
But then I'll be down for a while.
So. Yes, you will.
Yay.
Yay.
Alrighty. That's it. Continue to post your projects.
That's right.
This is September.
Yes.
For September. And I will draw prizes on the last day of the month. Or the 1st of October. Can't believe it's going to be October already.
I know, it's crazy.
And you can always find us on Ravelry, Double Knit Podcast Fans Group, or show notes at doubleknit.net.
Yep.
And we will talk to you soon for episode 70.
Ah!
I know how that happened.
Yeah, I don't know. We've just been doing this for like 4 years.
Holy crap. Seriously. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
You.